Eastern Standard Time. Oh, am I numb now?
You might want to start that back over. You weren't on.
Are you kidding me? It says on my screen I was on.
You weren't.
All right. Wait, okay, where's that song again?
You want me to get...
Yeah, can you have that wide receiver again? Okay. And take two, and... All right. Action. Hey, what's going on out there, V's After Dark Radio Land? You know what time it is. And no, it's not 2 for Tuesday, it's 2 for Thursday. Anyway, when it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on V's After Dark Radio, it's time for the quickest hour in sports talk, which is Let's Talk About Sports, exclusively here on V's After Dark Radio. I'm, of course, the host, the man himself, James Acevedo. And without further ado is my co-host, the CEO of V's After Dark Radio. There's the one and only, the multi-times, the very lovely and beautiful, and all that other good stuff, is Vita Toy Lady. Hola, and a good evening. Buenas noches, and all that other good stuff. How you doing?
What's up?
Since we last left you, if you remember, we went through this James Dolan, the Knicks, the owner of the Knicks, James Dolan, and Knicks great Charles Oakley. It was the saga. We talked about that a week ago at this time. A lot of things have happened since then. First off, let me just say a few things besides what I've said here and on my own show on Fridays, the Bench Warmers Live Show. After what we just have talked about a week ago, James Dolan had this brilliant idea of saying, you know what? I know how I can look good to the public. We have a home game Sunday. This was this past Sunday. I think they faced and they lost to they beat the Spurs, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they faced the Spurs, one of the best teams in the NBA, and they actually beat them, which was a miracle. But that was the side story. The main story was James Dolan took this time. He was like, you know what? To show that, you know, I'm not a type of guy that doesn't want a former great Knicks to be on the floor with me or near me, I'm going to use this opportunity and try to pull the wool over people's eyes, and let me bring some former Knicks. Some of them were Larry Johnson. He was actually well more known as a Charlotte Hornet, but he did do his time here with the Knicks. He had that great four-point play in the Eastern Conference Finals in 1999 against the Pacers, which turned around the whole series. Okay, he had on with by sitting next to him, which, by the way, mind you, sitting next to him, which is a joke, Larry Johnson. Latrell Sprewell, interesting, because with Latrell Sprewell, anybody doesn't know, they've had a long feud for a very long time. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know what? Let me have Latrell Sprewell sit next to me, because, you know, let's bygones be bygones. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I love Latrell Sprewell. Latrell Sprewell, anybody doesn't know, was famous for choking out a coach when he was on the Golden State Warriors. Colissimo. God knows what was said for him to choke him. We will never know. all this, and have Vin Baker. Vin Baker, who was a Knick for a cup of coffee. He was on the Milwaukee Bucks. He was more known on the Milwaukee Bucks than he ever was in the Knicks. Are you kidding me? Vin Baker? Might as well have the ball boy sitting next to him. I'm like, Vin Baker. He wasn't even barely a Knick. Why not have Penny Hardaway, who was barely a Knick, and Tracy McGrady, who was a Knick for like 2 seconds, you know? And how about Steve Francis, the franchise, who was a Knick for like a little longer than a cup of coffee, more like a cup of coffee and another cup of cafe latte. But that was a joke. I mean, to have these guys sit next to him to say, hey, look, hey, I can have these players with me. You know, I got no problem with them sitting next to me. You know, it's just that Charles Oakley was saying absurd things. First off, I still haven't seen or heard anything that he said, anything derogatory towards the man or just being, you know, verbally abusive, period. There has still have been no evidence of that. The only thing Oakley did wrong when he put his hands on the security guards. That's a no-no. I understand that. Okay. I still think this is my thing. And here's another thing that happened, Ms. V, that I find very interesting. The security chief was fired just the other day. Scapegoat, I'm just saying, scapegoat, why do I say that? Because wait a minute. If someone is thrown out and it was in the right, why would the security chief be fired? I'm just saying. If it was the right thing to do, and he was being that obnoxious, Charles Oakley, why would the security chief be thrown out? I mean, fired. He did his job. I mean, correct? Now, here's one or two scenarios I want to throw at you. And this is not far-fetched, by the way. One or two things I think happened. Dolan doesn't like Charles Oakley, because Oakley is very outspoken. He doesn't like the moves of what Dolan has done. And although he has been in the background because he's let Phil Jackson do his thing, and for that he might as well just have still had control of the Knicks, because you know Phil Jackson's made it even worse, if you can imagine. I think because of everything that Charles Oakley has said about the Knicks, which is, by the way, is constructive criticism, is nothing personal. You know, if you're not a big baby, you know, he's talking about the management and nothing about personally. You know, he knows Charles Oakley sitting next to it, not too far from him, four rows behind him, and basically made the signal to have him thrown out. Or the other scenario is that I've heard that there's been talk that he's not supposed to be in the building anymore at all because of other past circumstances, which has been very vague. Nothing, you know, been put out there very specifically what were those instances were. I think it's just because he just don't like Oakley, period. So when he noticed Oakley was there, Dolan in his mind said, wait a minute, didn't I tell the security chief, like, if this man comes, don't ever have this man come into my building? Because he does own the building, too. So it's one or the other. It was nothing vulgar. And let me say this also. For anybody to say this is a racial thing, stop it. It's not a racial thing. This is not even close to being a racial thing. So you, Brooklyn Borough President, whatever your name is, trying to, you know, stir, be a race baiter, and please, Al Sharpton, stay out of this, please. And, you know, that's another story for another time. If nothing race, it wasn't racial, okay? It had nothing to do with race. Dolan just doesn't like Charles Oakley. But my two possibility scenarios, I think, are the real stories. And after all this happened, you know, God bless the commissioner, because he has better things to do. Let's be honest, the NBA commissioner, who I've said this on this show and my other show too, that he's the best commissioner right now in sports, unlike you know who in the NFL. By the way, Ms. B is trying to not get mad because she's trying to not throw her keyboard out the window because she's having issues right now. Connect your keyboard to the computer. So if you hear that noise, that's what that is. So Adam Silver, what a great commissioner he is, unlike you know who in football. Another name we probably won't ever say again. He took the time to listen. Let's get together and let's squash this. This is ridiculous. So Dolan got together with Charles Barkley in the NBA office in Park Avenue.
Oakley.
That's Barkley, I'm sorry. Charles Oakley and Michael Jordan on a conference call. Michael Jordan was on the conference call. And they settled out. They both apologized to each other. And the band, by the way, just rewind a little bit.
But what is Oakley apologizing for? Hold up. What is he apologizing for? For what, being himself?
I think of what took place as far as like what the fans.
He shouldn't have laid his hands on the guard, but the whole thing.
That's what he apologized for. That's what he apologized for. Nothing else. Nothing more. Nothing less. And was fine. Yeah, that was fine. And then you know, like I forgot to mention, on Friday afternoon, Dolan went on a local New York sports radio show. And basically, I'm paraphrasing it. He basically said that Charles Oakley has issues. He probably has alcoholic, you know, issues, whatever. And I was like, how you say that? Again, just like with the PR move I told you with the Twitter, how you say something like that without no proof and you just say that? You just say that, like, without even, you know, any proof or whatever. That pissed me off. Now, fast forward to the meeting and everything else that happened. Okay, everything seems cool, right? But now, Oakley wants more. Oakley, he said, he goes, okay, I want a public apology, not just only what I had privately. I want a public apology, and then I'm saying to myself, okay, okay, now you're getting a little too ridiculous. At least he, and now, when he didn't get that, he says, well, okay, a written apology would be just fine, and I'll be good. But he also said, which I do, this I agree with, he says it's going to take him some time to really want to go back because of what happened. And that I totally understand. I totally understand that. But this whole thing is a mess. It's all Dolan's fault. If you didn't want the man in the building, there's a way of doing it. You could, like, during halftime or something. I think I said this last week. If not, you know, if I did, please let me know. Should have had a person come up to him and say, listen, can we talk to you in the back for a minute? And then you could have conducted business like that. Say, listen, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the way to do it like that, like I said, now, if I'm wrong, correct me, I didn't see or hear anything. There's some so-called witnesses that said he was being provocative, whatever. But there's also other fans that said, no, he wasn't doing nothing. He was just there. So I think what happened was he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place, even though he did purchase a ticket legally. It wasn't like, you know, I don't believe this scenario that he was there on a mission to try to embarrass Dolan or try to say bad things to Dolan. I think that's ridiculous. That's not the true fact. I think it's that Dolan noticed he was there, didn't want him there. He talked to his security management about this. Once he found out that happened, the security chief was a scapegoat, he got fired, which is unfortunate and it's crazy. So this whole thing is just ridiculous. And once again, it just makes the Knicks again the laughing stock of the NBA. So you don't have to feel so bad about your Pistons.
Hey.
At least your Pistons just basketball. There's no dumb crap, you know, off the court. You
That's
know,
because
like
we got rid
thing.
Of everybody. Remember, we did all that stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's out of their system right now. It's out of their system right now.
It wasn't off the court. It was on the court. That's different.
And totally. Up in the stands. And up in the stands.
Well, Ron Artest knows about that. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Now, with the evidence I presented to you, my honor, what's your thoughts on the situation? Are you updated?
For one, you know, all I heard was that the ban was lifted. We all know I could care less what happens outside of Detroit. But I do keep track of some things. My whole thing is that, first of all, last time I checked, weren't these adults that made millions and millions of dollars and some billions?
Like Dolan, correct.
So in the case of this, see, well, what I make, I can see me acting ignorant. You know, I ain't going to lie. I can see me acting ignorant. Because of what I make, you know, before anybody says anything, I know money can't buy you class, but come on. There comes a point when you get enough money when you say, let me just buy your butt and, you know, buy you up out of here, you know. Money can buy silence. Money can buy a lot of things.
That's a good point.
And
you got a good point there.
And, you know, when people do things, and this is my opinion,
absolutely.
I think that, first of all, as the owner of a pro basketball team.
Thanks, his daddy. But go ahead.
I know men are children. You know, men think with other things, you know, and I'm going to call it the way it is because there are men who may or may not agree with me. When that testosterone starts going, you know, how dare you insult me or whatever, You know, and I'm not trying
me.
To be any
yeah.
type of way,
yeah.
you know, it's, oh, you're not going to do this, and, you know, I don't, this has nothing to do with race. It
ego.
Has to do with the male
ego.
Ego. Because
ego.
The male
yeah,
ego is like the
I
worst
could.
Thing out
exactly.
there, and how dare you
yep.
punk me out or whatever, or you
Thank
talk
you.
About me,
Thank you.
You know,
That's
and
right.
men don't
mm-hmm.
know how to bow down. Men don't know, and this is in general,
yes.
this is not just this man or whatever. Men,
well,
regardless of what level they're on,
yeah,
when that
yeah.
testosterone kicked in, that's
oh,
worse
yeah.
than two females in the room. At least, hey, at least two females. We'll just we'll look you up and down and find stuff to give flaws at, you know. But men want to prove, you know, I got the power. I got the power. I can put you out. I can put you out. I ain't got to lay my hands on you. I have my security take care of it. Boom, boom, boom. I don't like what you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah.
Testosterone is like the worst thing out there. You know, it's worse than the estrogen that's in the female body. Because like I said, we'll, don't get me wrong, women, we have our issues also. But
oh,
the one thing
Please.
That we don't do is that when it comes down to flexing in places like that, that's not our thing. You know, we'll eyeball a female, we'll look her up or down or whatever. But we don't have to, when we get offended, you know, and I'm going to say depending on the age of the female. Men, it don't matter what
True.
Y'all age is.
Yeah, because
y'all testosterone, once that testosterone
yeah.
starts flowing, it's just there.
And especially if alcohol is added to the mix a little bit. I'm just saying, it could, you know, spur up more, you know, fire to it. I'm just saying, depending on the guy, it's just a fact. Let's keep it real.
You know,
and Oakley did say he had a couple of drinks, but nothing to where he was too impaired or anything like that. And the whole thing with Oakley, and I'll let you continue, I'm sorry, is that Oakley, see, he's a straight-up guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you have to hide? Like, why would he lie? And why would, you know, it's just he's not that type of guy that's passive-aggressive or sneaky, you know, like try to, you know, stir things up to make himself look good like someone else we know in a certain state, in a certain city. I digress. But he's not like that. And I'm not saying he's totally innocent. The only thing you think did wrong was put his hands on the security guard. That's a no-no regardless who it is, okay, regardless famous or not. But other than that, I don't see what else he did wrong besides that. That's all I'm saying. That's my point. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And don't
you know,
let him
my whole
he's
thing.
A very sneaky guy. He's a very sneaky – and he don't know how to talk. Like, if you ever hear him talk, oh, my God, he's so – Oh my God, he's so incoherent sometimes. It's like he sounds like he's drunk. You don't know. I'm telling you, you don't know how to speak to people. Like, okay, I'm just saying. Look, when you're in a position, if you're owner of a team or whatever, you know, CEO or something, you have to have some command of the English language. I'm just saying. It doesn't matter what background. You should have somewhat be articulate. When you hear him talk, you go like. This man owns a team? I'm dead ass. I'm just being real. I'm not trying to make fun of the man. I'm just saying. You hear me go, this man just don't know how to talk to people in public. He just doesn't. He don't have that vernacular, whatever the hell you call it. You know, he doesn't have that command of the English language. Not that I do, but I'm definitely better than him. I'm just saying. If you have a certain prestige, especially you own a professional sports team or CEO of a major company or even a small business, doesn't matter. You should have some sort of command of the English language. I'm just saying. Some sort. I'm just saying. Where you go, okay, you know, I can see, you know. But it's so obvious, you know, he just got it from his daddy. You know, he got this nice toy and he goes, oh, I can have this too. And own the New York Rangers? Oh, wow. And the Garden? Damn. Thank you, Dad. Jesus, and what pisses me off? Nothing pisses me off more than someone who has positions like that and make a lot more money than I do, and have no clue. That pisses me off, because I know I can do better, and I'm not an arrogant guy. I just know I can do better. I just know. I'm just saying. I didn't know you could do better than me. I wish you were on my team. You wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't take no crap. You know what? You make this much money, and you how you did? I didn't see no championship. I don't see no ring on my finger, and I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about championship ring. You gone, boy. Bye. You know. You know. I can see you'd be great. Imagine you ever thought about like if you ever like own a professional team? How would you be like as an owner? Would you be like a
You know what?
Oh, would you be like in the background and just trust your people? How would you do it?
If I, and I'm going to say this, if I owned a professional
team. Especially the Lions.
First of all, you know what? Considering I would go by what other owners have done.
Go ahead.
So, and I want to say owners that I admire. The late,
like the passing of
yes. Mike Ilitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The late William Clay Ford. The late owner of the Pistons. And I name those owners because I'm from Detroit, but also because those owners, homegrown, hands-on, and the players respected them.
Absolutely.
So my whole thing is that if I were an owner, they probably would be like, get this heifer out the locker room. You know, we see her too much. Because, and it ain't about looking at bodies or anything. You know,
no,
it
no,
would
no,
really
I'm
be
not thinking that.
Truly
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It would be, you know, we can't get our job done because she down here talking to us too much. We try to get some work done. Because I want to know how their day went. I want to make sure their wife's okay. You know, I want them to know I care. I want them to go out there. If you got some problems, you know, go on and take the day off. You know, you better not miss
That's
no 10 games because I need you out here playing. But,
yeah, I'm paying all this
you know,
money. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, my approach would be, you know, they would know who I was, and they definitely wouldn't. What I would be, I don't want people to jump when they see me. I don't want that scared thing. And we all know that when you go into a lot of workplaces, when the ball comes in, we got to act as, you know, as they call it the dog and pony show. You know, you got to act a certain way, and you got to look a certain way because the ball's coming in. I would be the type of owner where you would see me, and you'd be like, yo, what's up, V? How you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. What's up? Because I think that when you have that rapport, you get better players. I mean, the Red Wings are kind of crappy this year, but it's not because of the owner. You know,
no.
It's just because right now they crap. You know, the Tigers, you know, are better than
Decent.
They were for a long time.
Decent.
Because
Decent.
Of the owner. You
not
know,
great.
When you're talking about a hands-on person, this is what you get. And I think that the Knicks, just has an owner. Mark Cuban is another excellent owner. Mark Cuban is hands-on. You know, you see Mark Cuban. You know, you look at Mark Cuban. You know, I can see me going up to say, what's up, Mark? How you doing? And Mark being like, yo, what's up? Because he's hands-on. It's the respect. You know, as the owner, I think when, especially in the case of a sports team, just because you don't play the sport, just because you got bags and bags of money, you have to be able to relate to your players, because if the players don't know you and don't respect you or just think that you're their boss, then stuff doesn't get done properly. And I think that owners should look at owners who have happy teams. You know, when you look at the Lions, we're not the best, but, I mean, they just announced they were letting go Orlovsky the damn. For anybody who don't know who that is, that's our backup quarterback. He started his career with the Lions. They're going a different direction. But see, they had the courtesy. You know how everybody found out about this? Not on the news hearing it. That's what they told Orlovsky first. And Orlovsky is the one who told everybody. He said, I just got word from the Lions that they're going a different direction. He said, I will always love where I started. That right there. It's respect, because he didn't find out via some tweet or some rumor mill. He knows they sat down and talked with him, and he's the one who released it.
Yeah.
That's what good owners do.
Yep. True.
You know, and like I said, that just happened today. So I would be that owner that, you know, would be like, yo, we got to talk. You know, definitely if I had to let, you know, when we're talking about letting go star players or whatever, there would be a conference in my office, you know, or not necessarily my office, maybe in the locker room, wherever it may be. It definitely would not be a formal setting. I would not be walking in with my 4-inch pumps and my suit, you know, saying get up in my office and I'm kicking you to the curb and got security putting you out because I think
scene.
that's the wrong way to handle things.
Making it a scene, yeah.
But if I were an owner, that's how I would handle it. I know that some people might see it different, but that's what I would do.
Now, moving on to since we last talked about last week, the passing of Mike Ilrich. Did I say his last name right, Ms. V?
Mike Ilrich.
Yeah, Ilrich. Okay, I said it right. Did I say it right? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was making, okay, Mike Ilrich. Because we didn't say it on here because it didn't happen until Friday afternoon last week. I wanted to ask you certain things about Mike Ilrich. First off, how true was it that a lot of Lions fans wanted Mike Ilrich to also own the Lions?
I don't know that. I have not heard
that.
I mean,
were you one of them?
No.
Were you one of them?
The Ford family has owned the Lions for so long that if they were to go up for sale, yes, I would have wanted Mike Ilrich, but as long as I've been around, the Lions have not been up for sale. They've been part of the Ford family, you know. So that's not, you know, I don't know where that started. I'm not going to say it's not true. I just can say that, you know, I think that, you know, I know the one thing that was true was that we wanted him to get the Pistons, and Bill Davidson said, not even, wait a minute, not while I'm alive and not when I'm dead, and his wife adhered to that. That's why Mike Ilrich should not get the Pistons.
Wow.
You know, and I say that because everybody knows that Bill Davidson did not like Mike Ilrich. I don't know what was going on, but he didn't like the man. So.
Ooh. Only way. By the way, here's some facts of Mike Ilrich that we didn't get a chance to talk about on this show, obviously, because it happened last Friday. Mike Ilrich contributed more than 60% of financing for Comerica Park. He created the Olympia Development in 1996. He received three presidential citations from three different presidents. In 1982, he purchased the Red Wings for a mere $8 million, which, by the way, at that time, the Red Wings were a total joke. And they were basically, please take this franchise from me, please. I don't want it. He got it for a cool $8 million, which now it's worth like billions, and he got inducted into the 2003 NHL Hall of Fame. Won four Stanley Cups, 97, 98, 2002, 2008, not too shabby. And let's not forget, I remember, because in 1996, his team was in the Stanley Cup, but they got swept by the New Jersey Devils. I remember that. So they could have won three straight Stanley Cups. I'm just saying. He also purchased the Tigers in 1992 for a cool $82 million. The value of the Tigers today, $1.15 billion, with a B. He purchased the Red Wings, like I said, for a mere $8 million, and the value of the Red Wings is a cool $1 billion. He also founded Little Caesars Pizza, like we also said, and a lot of well-known people, especially in the Detroit area, they gave their thoughts on the late Mike Ilrich. One Kirk Gibson, who was a very good Detroit Tiger. His quote about the passing of Mike Ilrich was, he's a guy who created the rebirth of Detroit. It was his vision. He's just been a great leader for our area. Jim Leland, who is one of my favorite baseball managers of all time. I just love the man. The man is a take-no-prisoners type of guy. You know, I just love the way he is. He's an old-school type of manager, type of guy. I always liked Jim Leland. His thoughts on the passing of Mike Ilrich was his quotes, quote, I'm crushed right now. He did so much for me. That's the one thing we were always brokenhearted about, that we didn't get that World Series for him. Also, Steve Yzerman on the passing of Mike Ilrich. His quotes were, going back to the age of 18, when I arrived in Detroit, the guidance, generosity, concern, and love Mr. Ilrich had always shown me and my family are things I will forever be grateful for. So, you know, a lot of people, and also I know that Verlander said another cool night, some things. I can't find it right now, but I know Verlander had his thoughts, you know, just basically sending his condolences. And, oh, here we go. Yeah, here's Verlander, Justin Verlander on Twitter. His thoughts on Mike Ilitch passing. Heartbroken hearing on Mr. I's passing. He was a family man, a self-made man, a giving man, an icon for our city and nation. Hashtag RIP Mr. Ilitch. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of people that were lucky enough to work for the man, you know, played for the man as a player, whether it was hockey, baseball. You know, the man was very, very well respected in Detroit. And it's just unfortunate.
Extremely respected.
Extremely respected. And unfortunately, he's not as well known nationally only because his personality wasn't like a George Steinbrenner or like what you were just talking about for the Mavericks, you know, that type of guy where, you know, they're very out there, you know, their personalities. He was just a guy that he let his personnel do their job and he was there. Doesn't mean that, you know, he didn't do anything for the franchise. He was just the type, okay, I bought the team. I gave you the players and I'm here if you need me, you know, if I see something going on, trust me, I'll be there. You know, stuff like that. A very well-respected man who lived a full life, you know, 87 years old. Was it a heart? Is more details came out of how he passed away, Ms. V?
I'm sorry.
What was the circumstances of his passing? Was it a heart attack or something?
They have not said. That's one thing they have not said.
Hmm, okay.
I'm going to say I think it's natural causes. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The man was in his 80s.
And yeah, 87.
No, I'm not saying being in his 80s is old, but I'm just saying the whole thing is that, you know, there was a private, okay, what they did do, they
mm-hmm.
did a public viewing. And
oh,
the public viewing.
It was at the stadium,
and
correct?
I did not go.
It was at the
Fox Theater.
The Fox Theater. That's another thing. That's right. That's another thing, Ms. V, which
he restored the iconic
yes.
Fox Theater. I mean, that
yes.
building was
yes.
a dump. Nobody, I mean,
yes.
it had been empty and dilapidated and everything, and he went and not only did he restore it to beautiful fashion. I mean, he didn't do renovations. He restored it. And people have to understand the
yes.
difference between a restoration and a renovation. Restoration,
exactly.
I mean, when you go in there, the feel and everything, I mean, it is beautiful.
It looks like how
that's where Prince's
yeah,
concert
like
was. It looks
yeah.
how like it was.
Yeah. Yeah,
and for
yeah,
anybody
yeah.
who doesn't know, all of the Fox theaters in the country, and this is, and I don't know it to be true. I've heard this. So don't
right.
nobody say, oh, I'm wrong or whatever.
Don't
but I've heard that I've heard all of the Fox theaters have the
mm-hmm.
same layout as far as the inside of the theater, and that's what they're called,
okay.
Fox theaters.
Okay.
This is what I've heard because there are Fox theaters in other cities. And if you look, the Fox, the lettering, everything is to say, I've seen pictures of other Fox theaters, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, what's up with this? And I've
mm.
heard, like I said, I don't know
mm.
if it's true, but I've
right.
heard that the
mm.
architecture of all of the Fox theaters are the same.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
that
cool.
this was something that, you know, I don't know who came up with it, but that was what I heard. So, and that would make sense if all of the Fox theaters are the same, it would make sense why renovations were done and not remodeling, because you want to keep that historic effect. Because like I said, if you ever go look at pictures and you hear them say the Fox Theater in a different city and you look at the FOX, every
mm-hmm.
single picture of the Fox Theater, regardless of what city, is the exact same lettering.
Oh, okay.
But he brought downtown Detroit back. He believed in Detroit when
yes,
nobody
he did.
Else did.
You
yes, know, he believed in Detroit when everybody else was leaving Detroit. I want the Tigers here. He's the reason why Detroit is built up. Before Dan Gilbert came in doing stuff, he's the one who did Comerica Park, and then he got the Ford family to do Ford Field because they were at the Silver Dome. And a lot of people don't realize the Tigers and the Red Wings were the only two sports teams that physically were in the city. And guess what? They are the only two sports teams that have never left the city. So when you look at, you know, when you look at other cities and you hear the name, you know, outside of, what is it, the Jets playing Newark or something. I forget whatever it is. Some team that don't play.
In New Jersey, the Giants and Jets play across the river, and you know, across the river from.
But what
Jersey.
I'm saying, they don't play.
Yeah.
They don't play even in the same state that they're named after. You know, let alone.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
So, when you look at stuff like that, and then you say, "Well, what are y'all bitching about?" Well, guess what? See, I can handle going over to Newark from New York because you literally could see it.
Yeah.
But. Come on now. You want me to drive an hour outside of the damn city to a suburb that don't want to see my black ass?
That's
I
way
mean,
for that. Yeah.
Out there. Hey, I caught myself. You know.
Very good. This is rated G, everybody.
And I did catch myself. I didn't go all the way. But
you almost
yeah, you know, the
you covered the fumble. Yeah.
But the whole thing is that when... You know, I can honestly look, and I know what I know. You know, I know that, and I've said this, you know, the police outside of the city of Detroit, and not all of them,
mm-hmm.
so before somebody sit
no.
there and say, oh,
yeah.
all, no,
exactly.
I'm not saying all the police, but the police north of the city, and I'm going to emphasize north of the city because we have suburbs that are, like, different places, but the suburbs north of the city of Detroit don't like Detroit. And part of that is our former mayor,
okay.
back in the 70s, Coleman Young, and he made a comment
uh-huh.
that was very derogatory. And you know what? At the time the comment was made, it was necessary. He told the people who were white, if you don't like Detroit, go back on the other side of 8 Mile. 8 Mile is the dividing
mm-hmm.
line between the city of Detroit and the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So he told everybody, if you don't like it, take your butt back over to the other side of 8 Mile and don't worry about us. We got our own. We'll hold our own down. And that's
mm-hmm.
when Detroit had what they call white flight at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So white flight meant they all went north of the city. So when they went north of the city, they decided, well, when y'all come north of the city, we're going to take care of that too. We got something for you.
Wow.
you bring your butt out here, we got something for you.
Get ready. Better not have no tail laid out. Jeez.
Seriously, you know. That's why you know that. But Mike Ilitch believed in the city when nobody else did. And like I said, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting him. You know, most regular, ordinary people who never worked for him can't say, oh, I got a chance to meet him. I mean, it was a brief encounter, but I did get a chance to meet him. I have no shame. I was working at the VA hospital at the time. And I was still in college, but I was working at the VA hospital in Allen Park, Michigan, and there, I don't even know if it's still there, and I was just over there the other day, but there was a Little Caesars Pizza across the street. It was like a strip mall, but back then they didn't call them strip malls. They was just like thrown-up stores, but I went for lunch because it was right across the street from the hospital. Went there to get my lunch because he used to have this $5 lunch special that was fabulous. Go in there, and there was some other people from the hospital there, and we look, and we just, you know, I'm like, that looks like Mike Ilitch. And him and his wife came out. They talked to us, Marion Ilitch. And, you know, we're looking at her ring. Now, I was one of the ones we looked at, and we was like, that's a nice ring. She's like, yeah, that was like 10 or 11 carats. Fabulous ring. And she's like, yeah, I earned this. You know, I earned this ring. But he talked to us, very down-to-earth man. And this man... You know, he was already a millionaire at this point. This is like 93 or 94, so it ain't like he was, just coming into his money. This man had already been a millionaire. He had already bought the Tigers at that point, you know.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a man who definitely, you know, knew what he wanted, and he knew how to deal with people. So, and he was hands-on in his stores. I mean, this was one of his stores. Now, there was already about 5 million Little Caesars pizzas around at that point. And for anybody to say it's not that many, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, it was a lot of Little Caesars around at that point, and to see the owner of the company, the owner of the Detroit Tigers, in the back, showing somebody how to make pizza, come on now. You got to respect him. And then to come out and talk, you know, then to come out and talk to somebody like me, and like I said, at that point, they was, you know, they were, they're not, they didn't have as much as they have now, but they wasn't no new rich people either. When you could spend $8 million on a doggone baseball team, you ain't no new rich, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever he paid for the Tigers, whatever he paid, you know, regardless, it was more than what any of us had. But
yeah,
very nice man.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of business ventures. I mean, a lot of people did not realize that there used to be a place here called Detroit Bagel Company, and that was what his wife wanted. So when you're talking about business people, the business mindset of these people was never satisfied and was always about the people. I mean, the one thing I could say personally, you know, my brief little 5 minutes of talking to him, if there would have been any way I could have gotten a job or had an interest to work in that organization, believe me, I would have, you know, because he cared for his people. You know, and that goes back to being hands-on. You know, jobs have to be done, but you don't have to treat people like crap to get the job done.
Exactly.
So I really, you know, I admire him for that. And one thing I could say is he instilled in his children, him and his wife instilled in their children. I forget, I think they said they had 9 children. They had a lot of kids. It wasn't just 1 or 2.
9 kids. Holy crap, I didn't know you had that.
Quote me, I think it was 9. Because I was reading somewhere, I was like, dog, it was a lot of them. But either way, it, you know, his children are running the business. So it's one of those things where when you know that he is still, the, you know, it's that, all I can say is that what him and his wife instilled in his children, I don't see the Red Wings going anywhere. I mean, when I say I don't see them going anywhere, I don't see, like, the dynamics or the way the business is ran being changed. Unlike, and I know this has something to do with sports, but unlike Walmart World, when Bill Walton passed away, you know, Walmart became a place that you just don't want to go. Because the values that he had left, I mean, I'm being very serious when I said that because the values changed when he passed away because it went from we have to take care of our people to
the people,
you know, to we just got to make this money, you know, and
it's all about the money.
The Illiches care about the city. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, his wife is part owner of Motor City Casino, which is one of the casinos here. So when, you know, their hand is in a lot of stuff. I mean, these are fabulous business people, and there's no way around it. I mean, business is what they do, but they care about the community. I mean, he's not just building a sports. They're not just building a new arena. They're building a whole community. There's going to be mixed community living. So because they have priced us out of the city of Detroit. Right now, I couldn't even afford to live in the city of Detroit. And when I say I couldn't live in the city, I cannot afford to live downtown Detroit because they price people out. People who live downtown for eons have been forced to move. And you have a handful of people who still live down there who are low income, but they have forced out the majority of the people. I mean, right now, you're talking almost New York City prices as far as apartments downtown Detroit.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm serious. We're talking like a one-bedroom apartment is like $1,200 a month. And that's a lot of money for a one-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no view of nothing.
Ugh. Not good.
And I say New York because I know New York is very expensive, and our downtown is becoming very expensive. You know, our condos, I mean, there's a condo that's like $1.5 million downtown, and it's like a 3-bedroom condo, and it sits on top of the Book Cadillac Hotel, okay? And it's only like 1,700. And get this, it's like only 1,700 square feet. We're not talking about no three or four. We're not talking about no Donald Trump condo. We're talking,
no,
you know, 1,700 square feet or something. So when you're talking about like $1.5 million for 1,700 square feet, are you kidding me? Mm. But it's downtown Detroit.
Yep.
So the new Detroit district that he's having built is going to be what they call mixed housing, which means that low income will be able to afford to live there. He's making it where it's going to be, you go to what they call District Detroit, you'll be able to live, shop, eat, everything, and go to sporting events and not have to hop in your car. Do you know how nice it would be? We don't have a really walking downtown. You know, like I said, I'm not going to say New York because I've never, last time I was in New York, I was 12, and I can't remember nothing about that. Other than the hooker look real good. But I can tell you downtown Chicago is a walking downtown. I mean, you don't need a car. You can't use a car in downtown Chicago. You really need to either catch your little trolley or walk because everything is so close together. I mean, you could park your car and you could go to pretty much everywhere you want to go in downtown Chicago. You know, the hotels are viable. The hotels are within walking distance. And that's what they're doing in downtown Detroit now. And that's because of Mike Ilitch. I know people hear Dan Gilbert is doing this. And don't get me wrong, I'm not upset with Dan Gilbert because Mike Ilitch can do it all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Ilitch started it.
Yep. It's just too bad he didn't get to live long enough to see the opening of the Little Caesars Arena. And I remember one guy I heard locally that's from that area in Detroit was saying it would be nice if they renamed the arena instead of Little Caesars, that would be under Mike Ilitch's name instead, in honor of him.
Okay, seven children. I was close.
Seven children. Okay, well, that's still a lot of kids.
I said nine. You know, it was seven.
I was trying to look that up, but my internet was acting funny. Still, that's a lot of kids. And hey, if I had money like that, I would have as many kids too.
Yeah, but he had them children before. Okay, he actually used to play minor league baseball. But his history,
yeah, that's right.
He used to play minor league baseball.
I heard about that. He actually almost, matter of fact, I think he was in the Tigers minor leagues, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I forget which one.
I'm looking at his thing.
Yeah.
Like, he actually went to school in Detroit. Now, this is a true Detroiter. He was born in Detroit, and he died in Detroit.
Yep.
He went to, okay, for any of you guys who don't know about Detroit, he went to Cooley High School, which is on the west side of Detroit. It was, they even did a movie called Cooley High. And,
yep.
I know where that high school is. You know, so that tells you, you know, come on. I don't think he died in Detroit. I know he may have. He may have been in the hospital when he passed. But I was going to say that, you know, I thought he had moved to one of the suburbs, like Grosse Pointe or something. Either way, he was still, you know, he loved Detroit. But I could be wrong. He may have lived in Detroit because I'm not going to lie. I never followed where he lived at.
I've heard,
to be honest,
he actually lived very moderate. Like, he wasn't like, it wasn't like you, if you went to his residence, he had like a, you know, big mansion and stuff like that. He had a nice house, very nice house, but nothing like too flashy, which goes to show you the type of man that he was. He was just a man, you know, that
very humble.
He had, very humble, but very successful at the same time, but didn't flaunt it that way. And, that's just awesome. You know, I would be like that too. Like, I wouldn't get, like, who needs like 50 rooms and 10 bathrooms, you know? Like, give me a nice, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, trust me, I want a nice house, but I wouldn't want, like, you know, I want to be like Mike Tyson to have like 50 plus bedrooms and, you know, 20 bathrooms and a tiger in the backyard, you know? Like, I'm Scarface. Like, get a nice house, you know, big, you know, chunk of land, you know, decent, you know what I mean? And, you know, something nice, you know, something real nice. Because I respect money, even though sometimes it seems like I don't. The way. but I do. But you know what I'm trying to say is, like, I would, because, you know, the man, he was a self, How can you not respect, regardless man or woman, someone who's self-made?
Okay, you're able to, they say respect. His net worth. You ready for what they say his net worth was?
Let's play this game. Okay, let's see his net worth. Okay. Yeah, okay, he owns two seasons, two sports franchises, and not including other. I would say I know he's on the Forbes list. I remember
he was on the Forbes list.
Now, was he on the top 10 on that list?
No.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay, but still, I mean, the man ain't poor. He ain't starving for a ham and cheese sandwich anytime soon. I would say his net worth is at least. Yeah, that man has to have a lot of money. Definitely in the billions. I would say, is it Oprah type? Let's see. I would say, okay, $25 billion. How much was he worth?
How much did you say?
$25 billion.
You said billion?
Yeah.
No, he was $6.1 billion.
All right, I'm a little off. Almost $20 million off. All right, maybe a little too high. I mean, I thought too high of the man, but still, yeah. Like Chris Rock says, there's a difference between rich and wealth. That is wealth. That is wealth, my friend. That's wealth. That's not rich. That's wealth. Wow. So, since, you know, you're the perfect person to talk to about this great man. So the ownership of the two teams with the Red Wings and the Tigers, which does it go to one of his sons or daughter? Like, do you know, did they say specifically yet? Or they didn't get
automatically goes to the wife. It automatically goes to
the wife. Okay. So the wife.
Because his wife is still alive. Just like when William Clay Ford passed away.
Mm-hmm,
when
Yeah, true. That's right.
Automatically, it goes to his wife.
Gotcha. Okay. Go out. Okay. So, look at that.
But it's still going to be in the family because he out of the seven children, it looks like only one from what I'm reading works in the company. The others are like private practice.
They have their own thing.
And
which is good.
Well, one of his daughters is an attorney and she used to work for the company and she went on her own.
Gotcha.
And the whole thing is that he is, you know, that's not leaving that family. Let's put it like this. The family, you know, unlike the Pistons that left the Davidson family because the wife had no interest, and I think that's the difference when, you know, remember – Martha Ford came out last year after William Clay Ford passed away, and she said, listen, let me let y'all know I'm running this ship. I make the decisions. That's the interest.
Yes. Gotcha.
People can knock the Ford family because, yeah, everybody think of the Fords, Ford Motor Company, and yes, those are the same Fords. Let's keep it clear. But people forget that even though they're part of Ford Motor Company, they're not the ones running Ford Motor Company. They have other Fords who are in the ranks at Ford Motor Company. You know what I'm saying? They're still part of that family. That's why it's Ford Field with the big Ford logo on it because Ford sponsors everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing, the Lions aren't going to leave the Ford family for the simple fact that that's Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the Red Wings and the Tigers leaving the Illiches anytime soon because that was a passion, and to keep that man's legacy going on, nobody would. I don't see his family disrespecting his dream by letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Him and his wife built what they had together. You know, they came from nothing. So when you build something together like that, you don't just walk away from it either. Now,
exactly.
I don't know. In the case of the Davidson, you know, the Davisons, I don't know if he had money when he married his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So her passion may not have been there. But in the case of the Ford family, this is something, I mean, this woman knew when she married a Ford that she was marrying money. But the Fords have a lot of passion that people don't understand. you know, they are, the Fords in general are philanthropists, just like the Illiches. So people don't understand that about some of these families, that sometimes it's truly their passion. You know, they want this. Mark Cuban is one of those people, he's a self-made millionaire, and I don't see him getting rid of his team unless somebody shoots him in the head or, you know, something happens. There's some team owners you just don't see getting rid of their teams. And if they pass, you don't see it happening. I don't see Mark Cuban's wife getting rid of that team. So, you know, his dream is going to live on, and it's going to live on very strong, you know. I will be at a game this year. Me and my daughter were looking. Right now I'm mad because now that he's passed, the ticket prices went up. Seriously went up.
Wow.
Seriously went up, okay?
Oh.
I used to be able to get a ticket for $45. And nosebleed is like $150 right now, so I'm having some issues.
Damn, that high.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm having some issues. Part of it is because this is last season. This is part of that. This is also, remember, there will be no more Joe Louis Arena. So, you know.
I'm thinking, my bad. I was thinking of baseball, not hockey. My bad. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money for nosebleeds in a baseball game. You talk about hockey, but that makes sense. My bad. Gotcha. The Joe Louis Arena. Which they'll do like some sort of ceremony, I would like to think. You know, like, you know, something to.
So we're trying to get tickets right now. I mean, they said they did something to him last night on the ice. You know, like I said, I wasn't at the game. They did a tribute last night on the ice to him.
I got to look that up on YouTube. They'll have it somewhere.
They will.
NHL.com, you know, NHL website or YouTube, definitely. I mean, he's in a hockey hall of fame, so, hey.
Yeah, can I make a comment, though? And this has something to do with Mike Yolich.
Good.
I know that, you know, we really didn't want that team to win the Super Bowl, but will somebody go tell that man to sit down? You know, talking about you want to play football until you're in your 40s.
Huh?
Go somewhere. Like, go somewhere right now.
You're a bad man. We get it.
Go somewhere.
You got a bad wife. We
I mean, at least I don't hate him. You know, I don't hate him. Let's get that clear. I don't hate him. But just go somewhere.
No.
Just go somewhere right now. Just go somewhere.
Yeah,
Go sit down.
I mean, you proved your point.
Go sit down. Go somewhere.
No one's questioning. You're the Hall of Fame now, okay? In my opinion, you're the Hall of Fame right now.
What the somewhere? I mean, but do we really have to hear this? Just go somewhere. Just go. Just go somewhere.
You know, I can play my. Okay. I don't think a lot of Jet fans around this area like to hear that. Oh, I'm going to be playing in my phone. Oh, thanks a lot. Oh, great. Bad enough he's in another division. See, I don't have to worry about that because my football Giants, not once but twice, defeated them in the Super Bowl, which looks even a bigger accomplishment than it even was.
I'm just saying. But just go somewhere. Just go somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear nothing about you playing until your 40s.
Yeah, I heard that. But, you know, hey.
They need some more? Wait a minute, doesn't him and Giselle have some children? Or don't they need some if they don't
they have
any?
Yeah, they have a kid at least.
I think they got two or three.
Kid.
I mean, she looks fat and she looks beautiful. I'm not going to knock her body, but go make some more babies. Go make some more babies.
I would if I had her. but I know he had a kid from a private relationship.
I mean, she was part of my life.
Private relationship.
I mean, go make some more babies.
I know he had a kid from a prior relationship before he met Giselle from another woman. But
I think they've had one or two together. But either way, go somewhere.
Yeah.
Just go somewhere. Go make some more babies or something.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah, yeah. Just get your ring. When you get your ring in September and and I vomit. But, you know, well-deserved. I'm not taking well-deserved. Not saying it wasn't
just
deserved.
Go somewhere.
Well-deserved. Yeah, just, you know.
Just go somewhere.
Yeah, just go somewhere. Yeah, no,
just go somewhere.
You proved your point. You proved your point. And I respect
go somewhere.
That.
I'm not mad at him.
No.
But just go somewhere.
I understand what you're saying. You know, I'm just saying. Now, he don't look like he's...
So for anybody who say... For anybody who say, oh, Miss V, you da-da-da... No. I do not dislike him. I just want him to go somewhere.
Trust me, she would take Tom Brady for her Lions in a heartbeat.
Nah, I'm going to always have my Lions.
I'm just saying, no, I'm saying if Tom Brady was to say, you know what, I want to go, I want to give the Lions a chance to win the Super Bowl. You wouldn't want him as your quarterback?
Oh, he could come on. But I'm just saying, you know, aside from that, just go somewhere right now.
Honestly, I mean, besides the parade just the other week, I don't really see him out there like that since then, to be honest, unless you've been seeing something I haven't been seeing. You know, I haven't noticed he's been really out there like that.
No, he hasn't been out there, but still, go somewhere. Oh, and then let's talk about the next thing that I'm sure you guys, because even though the show needs to be over, I want to talk about this real quick because this will make every single man happy.
Go ahead.
Kate Upton got the cover of Sports Illustrated again.
Yummy.
And she looks fabulous.
Yummy. Yummy.
And she didn't get one, she got three covers. And this is her third time on the cover.
Yes.
And what I like is that she's a real woman. Okay, I'm going to say this because the reason why I'm happy that she's on there
Remember what
is not because she's Kate Upton. Not, you know, I'm happy because she has real curves. She's not fake.
She does.
You know, she has a real body.
No,
and
not.
When you look at her,
no injection.
She's not fat. She doesn't have, you know, she's a real woman. And that's what real women look like.
Despite
what people may think, that's what real women look like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's not fake.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's gotten the cover again, she's curvy. And before y'all come and say anything, she's an average woman. That's what women look like.
Which is
not these twiggies that go up and down the runway.
Yeah, exactly. Not these twigs or ironing boards that go on the runway. Which, by the way, also inside the issue, my tennis wifey, Serena Williams, is in there. Oh, my. OMG.
Yes.
Oh.
I heard she was in there.
You see the pictures? You see the pictures?
No, I haven't.
Nice. Oh, yes. The champion of champions. Yes. The great Serena Williams. Love her. Love her. Do they have a tennis hall of fame? They have that, right? You wouldn't know that. Do they have a tennis hall of fame?
What about tennis?
Do they have a hall of fame? Because I've never heard about tennis.
I think they do because, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I think Billie Jean King is in it.
Uh-huh.
Ashton, what is his first name? The black guy who passed away from AIDS.
Arthur Ashe
is in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll put her in now. I'm just saying.
And what's her name?
Put her in now. Nativa Navratilova. Talking about her. Yeah.
So
great player, no doubt.
McEnroe.
John
McEnroe. I believe there is one.
Yeah, I just don't know. I got to look that up, and where is it located? Because
Andre Agassi.
Serena should deserve her own wing in the Hall of Fame.
you're going to be
Serena. And she's still playing. I'm just saying. The woman is just dominant. And mind you, she had a time in her career where she had major injuries and she actually fell off a little bit. And all she did was got back on her feet and kicked ass again. I'm just saying, that's just a mark of a champion. And very good to look at, too. Great Serena Williams, yes.
Yes, tennis does have a Hall of Fame.
Where's it located at?
It's the International Tennis Hall of Fame. And the website is tennisfame.com.
And is it located in this country?
Let's see.
I never heard of it. I never hear any talk about that. That's why I was just curious.
Yes, it's in Rhode Island.
Really?
Newport, Rhode Island.
I would never would have guessed that.
Okay, Arthur Ashe, Marjorie Borg, Jennifer Capriati, Clark Collins.
Okay.
Lindsay Davenport, Aletha Gibson, Billie Jean King, Gustav Kurten, Renee Lacoste, Martina Navratilova, Pam Shriver, Ted Tinling, Jimmy Van Allen, Andre Agassi, Chris Everett.
Oh, Chris Everett, yes, I used to love her.
Wilfred Bagley, I don't know who he is.
No
Amelia Mussouri, David Hall, Marat Safran, I don't know who that is. Justine Penn, Margaret Peggy, Yvonne Petra, and then a few more. They've got a whole lot of people. Yeah, they do have their own Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, reserve a huge wing for Serena Williams. And for her sister, by the way, as a matter of fact, too. And Venus also. Just saying.
And they have a, let's see when they get back to.
Yeah.
It looks like, let's go the, year. Let's see when they started inducting them. Let's see, that's
most recent. Yeah, because it doesn't get talked about like the other sports when it comes to their Hall of Fame.
But it actually covers the entire world. So this, when it says international, truly is. Okay,
yeah,
they started
it
in 1955.
Oh, was that long ago? Okay. That's why I
asked. The first class
was
1955.
Oh. Wow. Okay. It's older than I thought.
But it's actually located in Rhode Island.
Oh, the small state.
And it's the International Tennis Hall of Fame.
Hmm. I'll go there when the Williams sisters get inducted.
All right.
Take a trip down there. Make a field trip. That's when I go in there. I mean, no disrespect to Arthur Ashe. You know what I'm trying to say. That way I see all of them.
And let me read this because they said class of 2017 induction ceremony tickets and info. So let's see when they do this.
So who's so
fair date, July 22nd.
So I guess it's already been announced who is the inductees then, correct? If they already have
be part of the celebration when our sports highest honors is presented to Kim somebody, Andy Roddick, Monique another name I can't pronounce. Ooh, her name's so long I can't, it's like four or five names. C Slick and Vic Braddon.
Now,
I
was going to say, be honest, I have no idea who they are. No due respect. I have no idea. But if they're Hall of Fame, okay. I guess they're worthy. I don't know.
Like I say, now we got our answer.
Now we got an answer. Well, there you go. Yes, exactly. And with that being said, this concludes this week's edition of Let's Talk About Sports. And tune in next Thursday night at the exact same time as 6 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on Visa Dog Radio. But don't fret, tomorrow night for all adults out there, and I do mean that, adults. Tomorrow night, Friday night, every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex. And Miss V, why don't you take it from here? We have a guest tomorrow this time?
Yes, Monique Holloway. She wrote this book, which, it's called Exercisology. And it's like these different positions, and you're supposed to get burned.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about that. I was doing research. Go ahead.
Yeah. She's going to be on tomorrow night, so we're going to have fun because I got some questions.
Me too.
I got some questions.
Because, I don't mind burning calories like that.
All I can say is that since we can't discuss that on this show, you guys have to listen tomorrow night to find out.
Exactly.
But make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter.
Say your Twitter handle, Ms. V. Go ahead.
Ms. V. The Toilet, that's MSVDATOYLADY.
By the way, it's the same as in Instagram also, the same handle. Same thing as it is on Twitter.
Yes.
You look it up on Instagram, it's the same thing. And as for me on Twitter, I'm at YankeeMan1973, YankeeMan1973. On Instagram is JimmyA73, JimmyA73. And that's about it. So until next week, as far as the Let's Talk About Sports, next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great weekend, everybody. And like Ms. B just told you, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night.
And for all you folks going to the All-Star game, keep your money in your pocket. Bring it back home to your wives.
Yes, it's already that Ms. V's very time of the year. NBA All-Star weekend. Notice we didn't even talk about that. Anyway. And nothing to talk about anyway when it comes to the NBA All-Star game. Just give me a good slam dunk contest and I'm happy. That's all I care about. Yeah. Anyway, enjoy your evening, everybody, and have a good weekend. And don't forget tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. All about sex, sex, and more sex. It's going to be fun. Don't you dare miss it. I wouldn't if I were you. Until then, have a good evening, everybody.
Weekend.
Bye. Yeah, bye, Lizzie. Bye. Talk to you tomorrow.